This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. So there was big news out of England yesterday when American princess Meghan Markle, who, by the way, I find extremely attractive. She's spectacular looking. Her and her royal husband, who she married, Prince Harry, they made an announcement yesterday saying that they're out. They're going to step back from the royal life. They're going to move to Los Angeles, and they want to get jobs, and they want to just live lives in Los Angeles. And if that doesn't tell you happy wife, happy life, nothing will. They say that she has been miserable living over there, and think about it, a princess. I mean, she doesn't have to do anything. The taxpayers pay for everything that they do. All they do is travel. They wave at people. They go to events. They cut ribbons. They don't have to do anything. But evidently, Meghan Markle said, I'm done with here. I can't deal with the queen, this old hag. I can't deal with it. And so, this just proves, Chris Coleman, that women, they run things. She's got him. She's got him wrapped not only around her finger, but she's got him in the palm of her hand. If she could say, we're moving. She grew up in Los Angeles.
On a set of married with children, right?
Well, her father was either a cameraman or a light man. On the television show Married with Children. And from when she was a little girl, she would go to work with him. But the actor who played Al Bundy, nobody really, he didn't say, oh yeah, I remember her. but this goes to show you that, again, if your wife's not happy, your life's not going to be happy. Here's an American woman. She marries a prince. In England, she could live
a Disney fantasy.
I mean, literally, she lives in any castle she wants to. She doesn't have to ever worry about anything, and she's miserable.
But here's the thing. It makes a bad first impression because she's the first American princess. And as the first American princess to be married into that hierarchy, she's already disrupted the whole system. You know how many
she's thrown a monkey wrench into the whole system.
It goes to show you the difference between American women and European women. Because I'm quite sure there was a lot of European women that wished they could have married into that royal family. But here's this American woman goes over there with her American ideologies and says, you know what? I can't do it. We have to go back to America in Los Angeles where the smog is and the earthquake, so I can't do this princess life.
Now, I don't care very much about the royal family, and usually news out of the royal family in England, I don't talk about because I really don't care about it. But this is something how an American woman could go over there, marry this guy, live in the lap of luxury, and this has got everybody in England talking.
Oh yeah.
And they're not completely stepping away from the royal family. They still said that they will fully support Her Majesty the Queen, but they're leaving and they want to go into the private sector. I guess they want to come over to America, make money. and they want to live the American life. Well, she does.
Mm-hmm. She poisoned them.
Isn't that something?
Probably the last American princess too, because after this, I'm quite sure the queen is like, all right, no more American women. We have to keep this royal family going. If you're going to marry, it has to be a European woman that accepts our royal heritage and our traditions and our mores and all that.
American men who get married to very attractive women like this, they go through this all the time. I mean, it's where your wife is happy, where your wife, what kind of house she wants to live in, what kind of neighborhood she wants to live in. You know, inside the house, what the house is going to look like. It's everything's up to her. I mean, this is again, that's when I started talking about this. That's why that cliche is that cliche. Happy wife, happy life. And she's so good looking that he's like, I'm willing to just say, see a royal family. Yeah, I'm a prince. You know, Princess Diana was my mother, but I don't care about that. You're so hot. I just want you to be happy, and I want to keep doing sex with you and have a great life.
He's whipped.
And the people in England, they're upset because they say either they should completely abdicate, completely leave and step away from the royal family, or not. They don't like it how, well, they're going to have homes. They first said in North America, but it's going to be Los Angeles because that's where she's from. And they're upset that they're going to have 1 foot there. And then every once in a while, if they want to come back and get all of the things that go with being a part of the royal family. I mean, because taxpayers in the United Kingdom have spent millions of dollars. She and Meghan Markle and Prince Harry have spent $3 million taxpayer dollars refurbishing the home that they live in, the castle that they live in.
All right.
They spent millions of dollars traveling all over the place.
Millions of pounds, I think. Right?
Whatever it is over there. And that, boy, they are going crazy in England. And it's all because of an American woman. She wants her way.
I agree with England. Either step away from it completely, because what's going to happen is he's going to go live this American lifestyle but have this royal safety net. And when things get a little bit too hard for him, he can always opt out with the golden parachute. I mean, if you're going to go through with this whole private sector thing, you got to go through it all the way. You can't dip your toe in the water and try this capitalism free market thing out and say, you know what, I don't like it. I have to go back to the queen.
Well, and the New York Post did a funny cover. They've got the two of them, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, sitting on a couch. He's in a wife beater. Her hair, and he's drinking a Pabst Blue Ribbon, and he's got his hand in his pants watching television.
Ah, that's like the Al Bundy.
Yeah, she's got her hair in rollers, holding a cigarette, and she's got things all over the place, talking on a cell phone, and it says they want the American lifestyle. It's just, again, it goes to show you how in many marriages in America, and now this one, you know, the woman just snaps her fingers and the man has to put the tail between his legs and just run around.
Yeah, must be something spicy over there going on with Meghan Markle.
Here on Bayou 95.7.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Did you see Drew Brees on television last night? He went undercover on the television show Undercover Boss, and he walked into the kitchen at Walk-On's restaurant, which he is a part owner of, that franchise. And he walked into the walk-ons here on Poydras Street, right down the street from the Superdome. And they put long hair on him, and he had a lot of prosthetic makeup on him think about it. Drew Brees is probably the most recognizable face in and around the city of New Orleans. So that was going to be a difficult one. And I watched a little of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched a little of it because I was going back and forth because they're having the GOAT Jeopardy, the greatest of all time, the three greatest Jeopardy players on. And that was on opposite that, because they've got that on ABC and primetime, and that's gonna be going until one of those guys wins three matches. And right now it's tied up after the first two nights at one match to one match between Ken Jennings and James Holzhauer, the guy that became famous on Jeopardy last year. The third guy, Brad Rutter, in the first two nights, he hasn't even come close. Those two have run away from him. And what makes this Jeopardy a little bit different is they play two games. It's an hour long instead of a half hour long. They play two games, and then whoever wins the total of the two games put together, they win that one match. So, and look, if you're recording this and you're planning on watching it, I don't want to give you a spoiler, but those two guys have each won one match, and Brad Rutter hasn't even come close. I mean, last night going into Final Jeopardy, he couldn't play because he had negative money or negative points, because they're playing for points instead of money, but it's the same figures.
Which one did you say was the youngest one, the one that had the hand speed with the
James trick? Holzhauer.
That's the one, that, and he's tied 1-1, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And so tonight's match number three, but whichever one of these three, the greatest players in the history of Jeopardy, and if you like that show like I do, it's fascinating to watch, because even though, you know, these guys, especially Brad Rutter, he's missed the most. He's gotten the most wrong answers, but the other two have cleaned up right after him, and the other two have barely gotten anything wrong. I mean, it's incredible, if you enjoy that show, to watch that game being played at the highest level it's ever been played. But that was on the same time as Undercover Boss. And with Drew Brees walking into walk-ons and going into the kitchen.
Dressed up like the Geico caveman.
He did look like the Geico caveman. But I watched a little bit of that. It was fairly entertaining. And I don't know if I was working at walk-ons and that happened, you know, because they come walking in and they do have cameras, but they don't say it's from the TV show Undercover Boss. They said it was something for Netflix that was going to be on the BBC, why they were in there with cameras in this guy with who's looking like a bum with the long hair and the beard. But I watched a little bit of it. Maybe it's because I saw all the pictures of Drew Brees looking like that before the show aired, that I'm thinking, really, these guys don't think something's going on? The dishwashers over there at walk-ons, they don't think... This is a little bit strange.
Well, when you're that into your work, you don't have time to kind of look at your peripherals and try to make out. Did you hear whether he disguised his voice or not? Because I completely missed the show. Did he have like a funky accent?
Not really.
No.
He kind of.
They did cover up his birthmark, though. That would have been a telltale sign. Clearly, that's Drew Brees' birthmark. He has a very significant birthmark on his cheek.
Right on his cheek there. Yeah. So, but they had a big party over there at walk-ons. And I like walk-ons. I have lunch there sometimes, and I've been in there a few nights. I like walk-ons. And they had a party there last night, a watch party with all of their employees to come in and see that. But pretty neat, though, when Drew Brees, again, you're not going to find a more recognizable face in this whole region, able to go in there and try to pull something like that off.
I wish you'd have watched till the end because I wanted to see if he had an epiphany or did he learn something or did he appreciate. Because most of the Undercover Bosses episode is about the boss trying to figure out how the ground layer works, and then they learn how hard it is and ends up giving like a bonus or a raise to an unexpected employee. Like, oh, you know, you work so hard, and they take their mask off and give them a check or a position or something like that. They have an epiphany or something that they learn.
Well, he learned how to wash a dish really well.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, Drew Brees has made, what, $20 million a year for the last how many years? And then before that, he made millions of dollars a year, too, before he was making $20 million a year. How many dishes do you think Drew Brees actually washes at his home, uptown?
None.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. So
he has like four or five kids. I'm quite sure he can get one of those kids to wash the dishes.
Yeah. So, but that ended up being being fun. So I was flipping. I was going back and forth. But the Jeopardy GOAT, the greatest of all time, the three greatest players in the history of the show Jeopardy, they're playing again tonight, and then they're going to have to play again tomorrow night because it's whoever wins three matches first. And right now it's tied one match to one match between Ken Jennings and James Holzhauer.
You said you could bet on it, right? Vegas.
You could have before it started. I don't know if you could still bet on it.
Yeah, I texted yesterday saying it was pre-recorded in December. So if it was pre-recorded sometime back in December and they're airing it now, it kind of seems a little weird that somebody from the studio audience who knows the results can just go to Vegas and put money up because they know how the results are going to
be. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So we'll see. But it was fun seeing Drew Brees looking like that last night. And we still have no idea what's going to happen with him. He's a free agent. All three Saints quarterbacks are free agents. It's going to be difficult to bring them all back.
Yep.
We will see what happens in the near future with that. All right. Coming up on the show, how long is that demolished, partially demolished, partially built Hard Rock Hotel going to stand? Here in New Orleans, we've heard another almost year, and remember the two dead bodies are still in there. Yesterday there was another big meeting, and the city is having a big problem with the developers. Now the developers want to take down two or three other historic buildings right around there to make the demolition of the Hard Rock go easier, and there are historical folks around here that are saying, no, don't touch those other historical buildings on Canal Street in Iberville. We'll get to the latest on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So have you been paying any attention to the news? Have you seen all those horrible fires in the country of Australia down under? They've got fires that are just burning all over the place, and it's sad. They're saying a lot of animals are dying. It's really, really sad, and there's a bunch of people who are convinced that this is climate change, that something has to be done about climate change. Meanwhile, in Australia, they've arrested almost 200 people for deliberately starting those brush fires. As of yesterday, And I know the time is a little bit different over in Australia. They're way ahead of us.
Yeah, about 3 years.
No, well, what's today? Today's Thursday?
Yeah.
I think it's next Tuesday over there right now, over in Australia. But as of yesterday, 183 people in Australia have been arrested for deliberately starting those brush fires. The suspects say climate change made them do it.
Huh?
Yeah, go figure. Well, I guess that's a response to the people who are convinced that this is climate change that's causing this, and it's not. It's people with matches that are deliberately setting these fires.
So what? They believed in climate change so much that they tried to beat climate change to the punch.
No. Hey, coming up on the show. Wait till you hear. You know, medicinal marijuana is finally legal here in Louisiana, and there are many states where medicinal marijuana is legal. You just have to have a doctor's note. Wait till you hear the reason why this one group of people want to get prescribed medicinal marijuana. This is I've never seen or heard anything like this before. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And medicinal marijuana is legal now here in the state of Louisiana. And by the way, I think if alcohol is legal, marijuana should be legal. I don't think there's anybody that can convince me that marijuana is more dangerous than alcohol. I mean, you shouldn't smoke it. Like when they give it to people for medicinal uses, like you've seen videos, and I've seen videos, maybe you haven't, but I've seen videos where you would see a young child, a child at like 6 or 7 years old, suffering from seizures, and then they give them some marijuana, whether it's in a cookie or a brownie, and they eat it, they digest it, because you shouldn't smoke anything. Smoking anything is bad for you. But that you see on the videos that the children suffering from seizures, they eat a little bit of marijuana, and then all of a sudden the seizures stop. And there's no doubt about it that marijuana has its medicinal benefits. It helps people. It helps people, maybe cancer patients and patients suffering from bad diseases. It helps them eat when otherwise they don't have an appetite. It helps them sleep when otherwise they're having trouble sleeping. I told you about the seizures. There are plenty of medicinal uses for marijuana. And I remember going back now 10 years or so when medicinal marijuana first became legal in California. I have a couple of friends that live out there. And my friend called me up and said, yeah, man, all you got to do is just go to the doctor and get a note, and he'll give me a note for anything. He said, I was using a hammer, and I was nailing some things, and I banged my thumb.
Paya!
And I went to the doctor, and I said, hey, can I get some marijuana prescribed, because my thumb is killing me? And my doctor did that. And then that's what was happening when it first became legal for medicinal purposes in California. Now out there and in a bunch of other states, it's legal for recreational use. You can just
smoke weed every day.
Yeah, politicians actually walk into weed stores and buy weed. But in Ohio, if you want to talk about a wild reason for people to be prescribed medicinal marijuana, listen to this. 28 people have tried to get a prescription for medicinal marijuana in Ohio. And the reason why? Because they're Cleveland Browns or Cincinnati Bengals fans. And they have a petition, and they want to make Browns, because they're so bad, the Browns and the Bengals, they're so bad that they want to make being a Browns and a Bengals fan a condition that would let doctors.
That's good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's
huh?
A good one.
Talk
that's
about thinking
one.
Outside the bag. I mean, outside the box. So at least 28 Cleveland Browns and Cincinnati Bengals fans have said they want this condition for being a Cleveland Brown or Cincinnati Bengal fan to be a good excuse or a good reason for doctors to be able to prescribe medicinal marijuana.
Can you blame them?
No!
The anxiety that they must be going through every time they have a season.
Yeah, Bengals and Browns fans have been used to disappointment for a long time. Now a petition sent to the Ohio State Medical Board is asking for help. According to them, the Ohio State Medical Board, they've received 28 petitions for qualifying conditions for medicinal medical marijuana treatment. And being a Bengals or a Browns fan, they're in there. Now, in February, the board will meet to discuss the petitions. And this isn't the only petition. There are other, like, you know, I woke up and my shoulder's pretty tight.
Right.
I think that was one petition. You know what I mean? But they got enough. At least 28 people said that that should be a reason. And the medical board of the state of Ohio should make that, being a Browns or a Bengals fan, a reason for their doctors to be able to prescribe them medical marijuana.
Now, is that 28 different people or 28 different petitions with people that signed the petition? Is it 28 different petitions that say that, or is it 28 people that made one petition?
All it says here, Coleman, is they've received 28 petitions.
Yeah, so that's more than 28 people then. So there's 28 petitions probably for the Cleveland Browns deal that people have signed on the paper. And you have to get a certain amount of numbers to even submit a petition.
Yeah, other conditions that have been petitioned for are autism.
Fair enough.
Depression. Anxiety. A hangnail. any reason for someone to be able to get one of those medicinal marijuana cards and then have their doctor write them a prescription. I wonder what the prescription is like. I wonder, like, I'm going to write you a prescription, a quarter ounce. Yep. An eighth of an ounce.
An eighth of an ounce of Black Mojo for your depression. And for your anxiety, we give you a gram of the White Hawaiian Crush.
Yeah, now, there are some people that think that this is abusing the system there in Ohio. Some people there feel that medical marijuana should be used for more serious conditions. But I think if you feel that way, you should feel like I feel. Medical marijuana should be legal. Marijuana should be legal for everybody for whatever they want to use it for. Like it is becoming in several states.
Yeah. Because if you make it for more serious conditions, those people just go to a bar and get drunk. And there's not a lot of medical benefits to drinking like there is for medicinal marijuana.
But have you ever heard anybody... Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know, my husband after work smoked a joint and then he went crazy? Usually you hear, well, my husband or somebody stopped off at the bar after work and had a bunch of drinks and then came home and then, you know, things weren't good or whatever the case may be.
Not too many people get violent after smoking marijuana, from what I've heard.
No, that's you're right about that. It relaxes people. It chills people out. So I just thought this was funny how they've doctors there in the state of Ohio now, where medicinal marijuana is legal. They want, being a Browns and a Bengals fan, an excuse. They want that as a reason why the residents of that state can go in and get a prescription for medicinal marijuana. Again, the medical board in Ohio will rule on that. They're gonna have a meeting February 12th, and I don't know if they're gonna let that fly or not.
February 12th? I had a schedule for April 20th. I'm sorry.
It's Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So that partially built and then partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel on Canal Street is still there. There's still a crane above it. And there are still two dead bodies inside of it. And we have no idea how long that's going to be up there. They had another meeting yesterday, and it's been a couple of months now and it really, really hurt a lot of businesses right around there. There are a few businesses that have gone out of business because of that, because once that partially built Hard Rock Hotel collapsed, they closed off the streets right around there. And there were several businesses. Now all of a sudden, nobody can drive by. The streetcar can't go by. Nobody could hardly walk by or ride their bicycles by. And the business is really, really hurting. And we then heard, well, they want to implode the building. And then they said, well, we're not going to implode it. We'll demolish the building. And then they said, well, it's going to take a few more months. It could be the end of 2020.
Jeez.
Yeah, it could that eyesore could be with those two dead bodies in it. Could be sitting there upwards of a year. Yesterday they had another meeting, and now the developer, 1031 Canal Street Development, they told the authorities that they want to take down three other buildings right around there. Two of them very historic on Canal Street, which they own, by the way. They want to take down those buildings because it'll make demolishing the partially built, partially collapsed hotel, it'll make it easier to do that if they take down two buildings on Canal and one on Iberville. And the preservation folks here in New Orleans are like, whoa, slow down here. What do you mean you want to take down? They don't really care that much about the Iberville building, but the two buildings on Canal Street, they really care about because, again, they're old, they're historic. And yesterday, there was a back and forth between the people representing the developers, 1031 Canal Street Development, and people representing the city of New Orleans. And historic district folks as well, so they don't know. They're going to try to come up with something else, but you wouldn't think it would take this long to figure out how to take care of that and then move on.
Now, it is very extended, and New Orleans is different from other cities, being that we are like a New York and a Chicago-style city, but just we're under sea level. We don't really have that much space between the sewers, and our infrastructure is very historic. So we're unique in that we're trying to preserve our history while being built under the levees, under a certain sea level, so we can't really dig that deep. But we're trying to maintain that Chicago, New York style line. So we have more complications than the average major city.
Well, Coleman, what the city wants, they want to visually, they want to keep their historic look.
Yeah,
but they wanna also be up with the modern times, with everything else around that historic
right.
look.
So we're trying to mix modernization with old historic stuff. You know, we're trying to clash these two different styles while being built under the sea level. With you know, our foundation isn't that solid under the ground.
So who knows how long that eyesore is going to be there? And again, it's just making life miserable. For the people who have to commute around there, the people who work around there, live around there, and of course, the two dead bodies that are still inside of there. How long is that gonna be going on? And then we don't know right now, and they're still trying to figure that out.
That's what it seems to be, bumping heads with modern technology and people that want to reserve our heritage and history. Something has to shake in order for this to get done.
Yeah, coming up next on the show, we'll look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. We hope you'll stick around. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Time for us now to look at today in history. And we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
January 9th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 2001 Apple launches iTunes, revolutionizing how people consume music. iTunes, a media player, was introduced to the world today in 2001. You know, there were several artists who, and I know the Beatles were one of them, and there were several other bands as well. They waited a long time to have their catalogs, their music, made digitally available to people. This was the times were changing.
Right.
And you know, there used to be things called record stores, and people used to enjoy going into music stores and hanging out there and looking at different albums and CDs and tapes. And all of a sudden today in 2001, that started to change when iTunes showed up.
Yeah, how it changed the industry is at some point around 70s and 80s and 90s, you had to buy an entire album, and they would only release one single for promotion, but to get the rest of the songs, you had to buy an entire album. What iTunes did was force artists to release one song at a time for the entire album. So you can record an album with 17 songs, then you have to release each song individually, and people have the option just to buy the songs that they like instead of buying the entire album.
And that's Coleman. That's a reason why a lot of the bands were slow to adapt to this, because they say, we make albums and we want people to listen from start to finish. But for the consumer, if you only like a few songs, a couple of songs on the album, it's better for the consumer. And look where we are now. January 9th.
Why today doesn't suck.
Speaking of Apple, 6 years later, it was today in 2007, Steve Jobs debuts the iPhone. This January 9th is a big day in that company's history, Apple. A touchscreen mobile phone with an iPod, camera, web browsing capabilities, among many, many, many other features. He debuted that iPhone today in 2007 at the Macworld Convention in San Francisco. And talk about something that has completely revolutionized the way everybody lives their lives. I go into restaurants a lot, and I'll see couples sitting at tables, and they're each on their, whether it's their iPhone or whether it's an Android, whatever, but they're each on their phones. They're not talking to each other, but they're each looking. I mean, I see that at lunch when I go out, and then you'll see tables with a group of people, and many of them not even talking to each other. They're just staring down at their phones, doing things on their phones. You know, not only did the iPhone revolutionize the way people ignore each other, I'm thinking it's a way that it helped save marriages in relationships, because evidently these people didn't have much to talk about if they've been married for a long time and they're out to lunch or out to dinner, and this is what they're doing when they're, and they didn't have anything to talk about that they wanted to at least talk about with each other. So instead of talking to each other, they just look down and they're busy on their phones.
And the irony is they don't want to talk to the person right next to them, but they're talking to 50 other people on their social media. I'm out with my husband having a great date.
Yeah, is it really that great if that's what you're doing?
Yeah, then they take a picture of it. Here's what my husband bought me to eat.
You know, and speaking of that, I saw someone, one of my Facebook friends yesterday, post a picture of him in the emergency room at the hospital. He said, I was having chest pains. I came in, and there he is in the emergency room, snapping a picture of himself and then putting it on social media. Whatever happened to the days when, you know, people went to the emergency room because they could barely do anything, and now you got people doing that in the emergency room. It really has changed the way that we live our lives. And I think for most people, I know I can speak for myself and a lot of my friends, talking on the telephone is one of the last things that we actually do anymore on our cell phones.
Yep.
January 9th.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 2003, a grand piano once owned by Elvis Presley was sold at auction for $685,000. a music producer and his partner bought that. And, you know, if you were a fan of Elvis and you had that kind of cash laying around where you can just, oh, yeah, here's $685,000 for some pretty cool souvenir, pretty cool keepsake.
Elvis made 85 yesterday. Was it his birthday?
Was yesterday Elvis's birthday?
I believe so. I'm not sure.
You know, I'm thinking something, because we all know in the last several years, Elvis's wife and daughter, Priscilla and Lisa Marie, they've had all kinds of financial problems because they were spending his money after he died like it was nobody's business. And they had all kinds of problems. You know what? No one would be a souvenir that would sell for a lot of money.
What would that be?
From Graceland, from Elvis's estate. The toilet seat that he died on. Elvis died on the toilet. Could you imagine if they were really hard up for money? Hey, are you an Elvis fan? Here's the actual toilet seat that Elvis Presley died on. And if you're a fan, you know, where would you put that in your house? Would you put it in your bathroom and actually use it? Or would you put it maybe in a frame and hang it up, maybe next to your autographed Drew Brees jersey or something like that? But I bet you that...
Wasn't the daughter married to Michael Jackson?
For 5 minutes.
Oh, man, because she could have got a half of Michael Jackson's estate if she was that hard up for money through the divorce.
Yeah, and from what I understand, I've never been to Graceland, but if you go there, you're not allowed to go into the bathroom where he died. But I bet you that would be a souvenir, and I wonder how much people would pay for the toilet seat that Elvis died on at an auction. And that's the segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, wait till you hear why this female judge in Kentucky just got suspended. You're not going to believe this. She's denying all of this. But wait till you hear the details of why this judge got suspended. And it's got to be a pretty big deal if a judge gets suspended, because usually when you're a judge, you're pretty safe. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Here's a headline I never seen before. Georgia man breaks into Taco Bell, cooks, and takes nap.
Say what?
This happened in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Not far from Atlanta. A Georgia man took a... this was Christmas morning. So he... The place was closed. He knew it. And he ended up breaking into the restaurant through the drive-thru window. He climbed through the drive-thru window Christmas morning. He then turned on the fryers. He cooked himself a meal, and then he took a nap for 3 hours. Wow. On the floor of the restaurant.
That must have was some meal he ate.
Well, it's Taco Bell. Doesn't say here if he then went to the bathroom or not, but you would think. So after his 3-hour nap on the floor of the Taco Bell in Lawrenceville, Georgia on Christmas, he woke up, he stole a laptop that was in an office there, and he stole a tablet. That was in an office there. And I'm not talking about the type of tablet that you might eat after ingesting Taco Bell. It was a computer tablet. And then he left. He went right out the drive-thru window the same way he came in. Police have not found him yet. They haven't caught him yet.
Wow. Now, when you first sent me the video, I was wondering how he was able to break in, because Taco Bell is usually open 24 hours, but since it happened on Christmas, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's how, so he knew what he was doing. Again, usually when people break into places, it's to get money. It's for a socioeconomic reason. This guy was hungry and evidently a little bit tired.
He had to work there because he knew where to go, how to use the machines, how to actually make the churros and everything that he ate. And then he knew where the laptop and the tablet were. So I'm quite sure it's probably an employee that pre-planned it.
So Coleman, you're thinking it's an inside job.
I think it's an inside job.
Isn't that the best time to take a nap, though? Right after you stuff your face. Yeah. I mean, you're all stuffed and you just want to sit down for a little while. And that's what this guy did. The next thing you know is 3 hours later. And he woke up and he got out. And the Gwinnett County Police there in Lawrenceville, Georgia. They've released some pictures, and they got one picture of him coming through the window, the drive-through window. They got another picture of him working the fryer later, cooking up his meal. And then they got a picture of him passed out on the floor right there. He didn't even go sit in a, he didn't even pass out in a booth. He said, I'm gonna pass out right on the floor here in this Taco Bell.
Yeah, that Taco Bell hits your gut hard, man. Sometimes you can't move after it.
It really does. And, you know, I say this every time we talk about a Taco Bell-related story. With full disclosure, I love Taco Bell.
Yes, you
do. I'm a big, big Taco Bell fan. I'm a very simple person.
You are willing to go into dangerous neighborhoods for Taco Bell, John.
Oh, absolutely. Well, look, our Taco Bell, the new Taco Bell here in New Orleans, it's right there at the edge of Central City, which is our most dangerous neighborhood here in the.
The last time we ate at Taco Bell, I was eating with my eyes over my head, and you were just sitting there enjoying it. And I'm looking at all the suspicious characters. I'm like, John, why are you not shaking in your boots right now? You're just like, rawr, rawr. That's how I was thinking internally. But, dude, you're a brave dude over some Taco Bell.
No, it's just that I love Taco Bell so much, and I've been into that one on South Claiborne Avenue so many times that all of the shadiness going on in and around that restaurant, I'm blind to it because I'm so focused on the deliciousness that I'm eating. And the reason why I love Taco Bell, there's two reasons real quick. It was founded by Glenn Bell, who not only Glenn Bell is an American hero because he fought in World War II. And then when he came back from helping defeat the Nazis, that wasn't good enough for Glenn Bell. He said, what else could I do?
Appropriate Mexican culture.
Well, some would say that, but he ended up, what a brilliant man. With about three or four ingredients, refried beans, cheese, ground beef, he's come up with 27 different menu items with three different ingredients. The guy's brilliant. And anyways, a World War II hero, and he invented Taco Bell. That's why I like the late, great Glenn Bell. Plus, when you can get a couple of pounds of beef for like $1.79, how can you beat it?
Just this week alone, we had somebody break into a Taco Bell, somebody use a car to bust into a bar to get a Dr. Pepper, and somebody got punched in the face over bacon. People take their food very seriously.
Yeah, we've covered all of those stories on this particular radio show. And coming up next, wait till you hear why this judge in Kentucky, this female judge, just got suspended. This is incredible. She's denying what they're saying she did. Wait till you hear what these charges are coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterland Morning Show. I was just reading how that song was written, The Chain by Fleetwood Mac. They said it was very unique how that song was written. Stevie Nicks wrote the lyrics, and it was all about how they were breaking up, Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. They were in the band together, and then they broke up. But it was just kind of sitting there, and they didn't really know what to do with the song. And then the bass player, John McVie, came up with that bass.
Boom, 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 boom. Iconic.
And then once he came up with that bass, they said then the rest of the song kind of came together. But you know, Lindsey Buckingham wrote most of the Fleetwood Mac songs, but that one right there, they all give credit to John McVie, the bass player. They're like, that song wouldn't have been, and it's a great song.
Yeah.
That song wouldn't have been what it was unless it was John McVie, because they had the lyrics. It was just sitting there. The song wasn't really going anywhere. Then all of a sudden, he just boom and boom. It's interesting how great pieces of work come together.
After breakups, yeah, Tina Turner and Ike, Ray Charles, and his old lady, a lot of great songs have been written because of breakups.
The greatest songs ever written were written because of love and love lost.
And then you have to sit there and sing it with your ex on stage later on.
That doesn't happen very often. That's what made Fleetwood Mac unique, Coleman. So there's a female judge in Kentucky who just got suspended. Her name is Dawn Gentry. No relation to the embattled head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans basketball team, Alvin Gentry. But Judge Dawn Gentry just got suspended with pay. And there's several things she's been accused of. She's facing 9 counts of misconduct. But there's one out of these nine counts that are just jumping out of the story. One of the counts that she's being accused of is that she was part of a threesome in the courtroom. There's, again, a female judge. One of these counts is that she did sex with her man at the time and another woman.
Hey.
Yeah, it does make a difference who the third person is, doesn't it?
It does.
It really does. Because most guys, let's face it, I don't think they would really mind if their wife, you know what? Hey, yeah, you know, I know it's always been your fantasy, honey, you know, and you find an attractive woman, whatever. But then those same guys, almost probably 100% of them, if the wife said, hey, how about a guy being the third one, would say, no! Jesus, son of God, no!
Double standards again.
Double standard, yes, but there are some double standards that are, hey, they make sense. A Kentucky family court judge has been suspended with pay after she was accused of misconduct. Nine counts of them, and one of those counts is that she did a threesome in the courthouse. Dawn Gentry is a family court judge in Kenton, Kentucky. That's in northern Kentucky. And she was just charged with multiple counts of misconduct. You know, judges, you just don't think of this kind of thing when you think of judges. They're usually, they go by the book.
Mm-hmm.
And usually judges, they're pretty much set for life. Many judges, once you're in, you're in. And it takes a lot to get them out.
Well, it sounds like she did a lot.
But besides the threesome, she's accused of coercing court staff to work on her judicial election campaign. Can't do that. Retailing or retaliating against employees who failed to support her campaign. Can't do that. Hiring a man with whom she had a sexual relationship with. And then she's denying all of these accusations. She's alleged to have hired her lover, who uses that word anymore?
People who don't want the obligation of being in a relationship. When you say lover,
can't you say boyfriend, Coleman?
No, because boyfriend comes with obligations, like you have to go on dates and buy dinner. If they're just lovers, all they do is bang and go about their separate ways. And she seems like the type that has so much going on, she doesn't want to be involved in a relationship. She'd rather just bang and do her thing.
Well, it says in the police report, they said that she hired her lover. What the hell uses that word? And her lover is a former pastor.
Yeah.
And she allowed him to play guitar and sing in her office, and that disrupted other court employees during the workday. She, through her attorney, says she didn't realize her lover's behavior was a distraction. I think having a quote-unquote lover hanging around you at work, no matter where you work, would probably be a distraction if all he wants to do is be a lover in love.
And then play acoustic guitar while everybody's trying to send faxes and go over court cases.
And it also says this judge, Judge Gentry, along with her male lover and her a third court employee, a woman, engaged in sexual activity in the courthouse. In the courthouse. I wonder if they where'd they do it? In the jury box? Where'd they do it in the courthouse?
I don't know. Somebody had to bang the gavel at some point, though.
She's denying all of this. And then, again, she's facing all kinds of other allegations. She took her children to work, allowed them to witness confidential court proceedings. Again, something else here. She's accused of approving false or inaccurate timesheets and allowing some of her staff to store and consume alcoholic beverages in court offices and in the courthouse. According to this police report, she's letting court staff drink booze in the courthouse. This is some judge, huh?
She's a rocker.
Boy, if you got in trouble, this is a judge you would probably want to be standing in front of.
Yeah. Makes me wonder who snitched. Because when you have a boss that cool, nobody wants to blow the whistle on her and get her in trouble. You know what I mean? And how she slipped up was they found conversations via Snapchat. Now, that's where she dropped the ball at, because Snapchat, everything is supposed to disappear. That means when she was Snapchatting somebody, they took screenshots of her chats.
Yeah, she should know better as a judge. Right. She shouldn't leave evidence. Right. And like you said, Coleman, Snapchat usually, what, it goes away in a few
that's,
hours.
That's what it's supposed to do, but yeah. Somebody on the other end took screenshots. So,
again, you don't see a judge getting in this much trouble. If she survives this, though, boy, this is a judge that you really would want to stand in front of. If all of this stuff is what she's being accused of, then you just can't make up accusations. Like, none of this stuff happened at all. Like even parts of it didn't. You can't just grab these accusations out of thin air and completely make them up, can you?
Somebody can, but I'm quite sure at least 4 out of the 9 is probably accurate.
Well, I'm going to keep my eye on this case, because now she's got to go through all this, but she's been suspended without pay.
No, with pay, right?
Suspended with pay.
Yeah.
Kentucky Judge Dawn Gentry, and she's facing 9 counts of misconduct. She denies them all, including the one that is the reason why we're talking about this morning, conducting a threesome with herself, her lover, and a female court employee in the courthouse. That's something. All right. Coming up on the show, we still have the dumbest thing that I read all morning, and that's coming up. And also, there's a head basketball coach of an NBA team who is now being accused of being a racist for what he called his players. And the players didn't like him anyways. We're going to explain coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. We should only be a few games away from Zion Williamson back on the floor with the New Orleans Pelicans, the number one overall draft pick in last year's NBA draft. He hurt his knee in the preseason. And the Pelicans, they won last night. They've been struggling a little bit without him, and it's incredible. Alvin Gentry, their coach, still has a job. But we should only be a few games away from Zion Williamson coming back. Can't wait to watch him play basketball. But elsewhere in the NBA, the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, a guy named John Beilein, he's making headlines because he called his own team, and they stink this year, Cleveland. He called his own players thugs.
Racist honkies.
Well, he's a 66-year-old white NBA coach. He was a college coach most of his career. I think this is his first NBA job. Big difference between coaching college kids and pros. College kids, you can control them. You can threaten them. You can, you know, take their scholarship away. You're not going to play, whatever. The NBA guys, they're already making millions. There's nothing you can do to threaten them or scare them or anything like that. So there's a big difference between coaching in the college ranks and in the NBA. But Chris Coleman, you're a black guy. Do you think the term thugs is racist?
It depends on the context of how he used it. Did he say those black thugs?
No, he said they were playing awful, and he goes, you're playing like a bunch of thugs. He said after he meant to say slugs.
Okay.
Come on.
And are there white people on his team?
I think there's one.
Maybe. All right, so if he called them all thugs, it's not racist at all. And plus, when he says playing like thugs, he probably meant undisciplined. Not necessarily you're playing like thugs in the sense that you're playing like black people, because black people dominate the NBA.
But in the hip-hop game, Coleman, we've all heard of thug life.
Yeah.
We've all heard of that.
Yeah, but you don't have to be black to be a thug. You can be a white thug.
Sure you can.
You know, Eminem raps about thuggish stuff, selling drugs, that's thuggish. And, you know, I guess because the majority of the people who use the term thugs are black, it's kind of connotated for black people, but anybody could be a thug.
But there are a lot of people thinking because he coached college his whole career, and now he's in the NBA, and his team's not winning, that wasn't a Freudian slip, that he really meant to call them thugs when he apologized. He said he meant to say slugs. Why would you call your team who's losing a bunch of slugs?
Here's the thing. I think he meant thugs, but I don't think he meant it in a racist way. I just think he meant undisciplined when he said thugs, because when I think of the word thug, I just mean somebody who's undisciplined, can't take direction. They're rebellious. They're not following, they're not following direction. So in that context, I can see him saying, y'all playing like a bunch of thugs. Get it together.
See, nothing offends me, and I hear thug. I don't think racist, but there are, in the year 2020, there are so many people because of social media, their hands on the I'm offended button 24/7, So I think he already lost his team, and I think he's probably going to get fired anyways. But I don't know if that was a Freudian slip or not.
Nah.
All right, coming up next, the American princess, Meghan Markle, has most of England going crazy this morning. We're going to explain why coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I just mentioned how Zion Williamson will be back very soon. Zion Williamson, the number one overall draft pick in the NBA by the New Orleans Pelicans, makes his debut tomorrow night in New York City against the New York Knicks. And he hurt his knee during preseason. Here's how big Zion Williamson is to the NBA. ESPN just switched their primetime game tomorrow night, and they're going to show the 13-win and 25-loss New Orleans Pelicans against the 10-win and 28-loss New York Knicks. That's how big Zion Williamson is to the NBA. I mean, if you think he's big to the New Orleans Pelicans, the ESPN just announced that they're gonna switch games because Zion Williamson makes his debut tomorrow night, and two teams that have literally the third and fourth worst records in the NBA are going to be shown on primetime tomorrow night on ESPN. To see Zion Williamson play basketball.
Dude, public interest. I want to see him play too. I mean, first round draft pick, overhyped. He's coming in on a losing season. So, of course, all eyes wants to see what Zion is going to be able to do.
Absolutely. And you know, when the Pelicans got lucky and the ping pong balls went their way in the NBA draft lottery and they were able to get the number one overall pick, they sold, I think right after that, when they drafted Zion Williamson, they sold an extra 3,000 or 4,000 season tickets.
Yeah.
Just because of that.
Yeah. But it was a big deal, man.
But it shows you how all eyes are on this guy when ESPN decides to take two of the worst teams in the NBA and make that the primetime game tomorrow night. So that'll be exciting to see Zion Williamson make his debut.
I remember when we first won the ping pong and we drafted Zion, the Facebook memes went crazy. They was offering to give him a fake ID so he can get into some of the New Orleans bars. They was offering him jambalaya and gumbo. Some people was offering their rooms to stay in. Like, everybody went wild over this kid, coming down to New Orleans, especially to get rid of that stink of Anthony Davis leaving for Los Angeles.
Well, that you just said it, Coleman. That was the biggest deal. If you look at, and I'm a big sports fan, and I love the Pelicans, and I love going to games, and it's something when they're winning, the Smoothie King Center is an electric place to be. Yeah. When they're losing, it's not a fun place to be at all. And it shows you how big he is. There aren't that many players in the NBA that are so big that they can instantly change an entire franchise around, and this is one of those guys.
Yeah, I remember you saying when we won the lottery, the ping pong lottery, that Anthony Davis has to stay, and I remember you was hoping that he did stay, so Anthony Davis and Zion can play together as a team.
I thought that would have been nice, but Anthony Davis wanted out, and he wanted to go someplace where he could win, and he's now with the Los Angeles Lakers, and they have one of the best records in the league. He's playing with LeBron James. It really stinks the way Anthony Davis left here, but it was hard to really blame him you know, for being with this organization 7 years and really never even sniffing a chance to be great.
All right. So what did we do with Gentry this year?
Well, that's the thing. Alvin Gentry, who has a career losing record. He's never won. I mean, never. The best success he ever had is when he was the coach of the Phoenix Suns, and they had Steve Nash, the star point guard, and they had a couple of other good players, and they made it to the playoffs, but they never won anything. He has a career losing record. He's much below 500, meaning he's lost many more games as a head coach than he's won in his career. And I thought when the new general manager took over, I thought Gail Benson did a great job after her husband Tom Benson died. You know, the Benson, they own the Pelicans too, besides the Saints. I thought she did a great job when, because we had a loser of a general manager for the last decade, Del Demps. The guy was a loser. She fired him, and she brought in the guy who was in charge of the Cleveland Cavaliers when they won their NBA championship, David Griffin.
Right.
And so I was excited to when they brought in David Griffin, and he was forced to make the Anthony Davis trade, and we got half the Los Angeles Lakers roster for Anthony Davis. And then we got a bunch of draft picks too. And I think the future does look bright, but the one thing that he did that I didn't like was that he retained Alvin Gentry, because he had a relationship with him. They both worked together in Phoenix. When Gentry was the coach of the Phoenix Suns, David Griffin was the general manager. So they had a relationship there. But boy, and I know losing Zion Williamson in preseason really hurt, but the team, Gentry just doesn't believe in defense. And we all know it doesn't matter what the sport, whether it's football, we just found out with the Saints, whether it's basketball, defense in the end wins. You gotta be able to play defense. And the Gentry has never, ever believed in defense. He's most known for, as a head coach, Alvin Gentry, of shooting the ball as quick as possible, getting as many shots as you could possibly get. And then we'll, you know, if we're going to worry about defense, we'll worry about it later. And that doesn't win. But he has still retained his job. And, again, I don't know how. That's the one move that the new guy who's in charge of the Pelicans has made that I don't like, retaining Alvin Gentry. But tomorrow night's a big night. The Zion Williamson era in New Orleans, and not just New Orleans, when you're the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, the Zion Williamson era in the NBA begins tomorrow night, and you know it's a big deal when ESPN switched their primetime game to have the New Orleans Pelicans play the New York Knicks in prime time. And again, they literally have the third and fourth worst records in the NBA. So it's going to be so exciting to watch Zion Williamson. Go Pels! Coming up, we'll tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7.
Boom shakalaka!
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So look, I will tell you, I do not care about the royal family in England. It doesn't interest me. One of the main reasons the United States, our country, started is because we didn't want to have to deal with kings and queens and all of that crap anymore. But with that being said, I'm extremely attracted to Meghan Markle.
She's a babe.
The American princess who married Prince Harry. And right now, those two have most of the United Kingdom, most of England talking a lot, because yesterday they announced they're stepping back from the royal family and they're going to move. They said they're going to move to North America. But from everything I understand, they're moving to Los Angeles because that's where she's from. And if that doesn't tell you that she has him wrapped around her finger, that he is so whipped when it comes to Meghan Markle. I mean, she's that great looking that she could have a prince just walk away from the easiest life you could ever imagine. I mean, think about that for a second. And so they say they're gonna step back from the royal life. They want to come to North America. Some people are saying they're looking at Toronto, Canada, too, but they're going to, Los Angeles is where they're, that's where she's from. She misses her family. She misses her friends. And that shows you the power of not only women, but also attractive women. How they can, they've always said, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
And so this goes to show you how true that cliche is and how powerful an attractive woman could be for a man.
Imagine a European woman that's disappointed, right? Here's this American woman, the first American woman to be married into the royal family, and she's already destroying the whole culture and tradition. And there's a lot of attractive European women like, oh, it could have been me. We could have kept the prince here. But this first American princess just came in and just dismantled the whole system with that whoosh, with that American.
And she must be pretty cool, too, because he's willing to throw. I mean, his mother was Princess Diana. And he's willing to throw all of that away. I mean, you talk about living in the royal lap of luxury. What a life that those two had. But obviously, she misses her family, her friends, and she wants to come back. But boy, oh boy, that just shows you the power of love. That's one of the reasons I have never gotten married. Look, there's a couple of reasons I've never gotten married.
Mm-hmm.
From when I was a kid, my father was miserable. I saw they got divorced. All I saw in my family, my extended family with friends, was divorce. That's all I saw. And in many of those cases, it was the women just snapping their fingers and the men having to run around to try to appease them.
Right.
Now, I've been in a few long-term relationships where I've lived with women, living in sin, living without the benefit of clergy, whatever you want to call it. And I've helped raise one ex-girlfriend's daughter, and I've been in relationships. But there's another reason or two, maybe, but that's one of the reasons. I mean, this is what a woman can do to a prince to make him say bleep you to the royal family. I'm moving to America.
Let's compare notes to see who's the worst human being. What was your longest relationship? How long did it last?
4 years.
Wow. My longest relationship was 5 months. That's the most I can do. And that was back in 2002. After that, I can't, like, relationships, I'm just not good at them.
Well, Coleman, you and I both have issues, but they're different issues.
Yeah.
But wow. Talk about a woman just snapping her fingers and then her man just doing whatever she wants to do. Boy, and England is going nuts right now. That's all they're talking about over there.
American women are going nuts. They wanted to live that Disney princess life, and they thought that was the way to go about it. Those women that are into the royal family want to live that fantasy life, and the first American finally does, and she's like, you know what? I can't really do this. And she wants to go back to America.
She said, hey, Prince Harry. You're coming with me, pal. And she said, hey, Queen Elizabeth, how do you like this? This may kill the queen. This may kill her.
Don't say that. Oh, no, I hope it doesn't.
She found out about it yesterday like everybody else. She had no idea this was coming. Coming up next on the show, I will tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And since it's just about 8:35, this is the time of our show every morning where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Man headbutted and choked girlfriend after she said his fart smelled horrible. A Texas man attacked, headbutted, and choked his girlfriend after she said his fart smelled horrible. You heard me right. 41-year-old Christopher Ragsdale of
you idiot
Wichita Falls, Texas, was sitting next to his girlfriend at a friend's house this past Sunday when he farted, prompting his girlfriend to comment that your fart smells horrible. After she said that, he headbutted her. Then he grabbed her by her hair and yanked her to the ground. My God, they were at their friend's house. I wonder if the the friends were sitting right there too when this happened.
Yeah.
And so after he did that, she's on the ground. That's when he grabbed her by the neck, and then that's when police were called. And the police came in, and you know, whenever someone gets arrested, obviously they have to fill out a police report.
Right.
And it says right here, I've got the police report right in my hand. It says he headbutted her and he choked her because she said his fart smelled horrible. It says right here in the police report. I mean, what does this guy think? Is she supposed to say, wow, that smells great? You know, not that long ago, Coleman, on the show, we talked about some guy over in Europe who said he's selling pills. Mm-hmm. And if you take the pill, it makes your farts smell whatever that pill. I mean, it could be make them smell like a Carolina pine forest. Ah. Make them smell like roses. Make them smell like any. He's got different scents.
Yeah, but I wonder what makes him so sensitive to the smell of his farts. Like, is it something that he takes personally? Like, was he personally insulted just because he just happened to have smelly farts? Like, he took pride in them. Like, no, they don't.
I know. What a loser. I mean, what's she supposed to say? And they're at a friend's house.
Right. Like, nobody's never told him that before ever in life. Guy who can't take disappointment or rejection scene.
Jerk. I mean, besides being obviously a public farter, now he puts his hands all over her when she makes a comment. She should have run when she met this guy. But I've never seen that in a police report, though. A guy headbutted and then grabbed his girlfriend by the throat because she said his fart smelled horrible.
Taco Bell, man.
Hmm. Well, he's facing now an assault charge, and she should definitely leave him. And
now, if she stays, that would be a continuation of the dumbest thing that I probably ever heard.
Yeah, that's a problem. The women stay with men for a lot, even though, and they have their reasons, but they stay with them, even if sometimes the men treat them horribly. Like,
yeah,
this. That's a whole other. Psychological subject there. So, again, the man who headbutted and choked his girlfriend after she said his fart smelled horrible is the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. I was just reading how There's a new bullet train in communist China, and it goes 217 miles per hour with no driver.
Hmm.
This technology is incredible. China has reportedly launched the world's first bullet train that goes over 200 miles an hour without a driver.
Is that amazing when you consider how many underground subways they have in New York and Chicago and the monorails that they have in Las Vegas that completely runs?
Well, two things, Coleman. All of those subways have drivers, and all of those subways in New York, they only go maybe, what, 25, 30 miles an hour tops? They don't go very fast. This is a bullet train that goes over 200 miles an hour. Have you ever been on anything that goes over 200 miles an hour?
I mean, airplanes, but okay. It's piloted.
But at least they have a pilot.
Right.
These communists are something. This is a bullet train that goes over 200 miles an hour. As a matter of fact, 217 miles an hour, to be exact, with no driver at the controls. And the reason why, one of the reasons why they came up with this is they're preparing to host the 2022 Winter Olympics
again,
and so it's something how the Olympics has no problem giving their Olympic Games to communist countries. It's a step towards getting China ready for those Olympics. The railway connects Beijing to Yangqing and Zhangjiakou. All three of those cities in communist China will host Olympic events. So this is a way that they're going to be able to get the people from one event site to another event site. Would you, if, let's just say you were going to the Olympics, would you be okay with getting on a train that goes 217 miles an hour and does not have a driver?
Hell yeah, here's why. The distances from those cities are pretty long. It'll be one thing. It's not like Las Vegas when you get on a monorail, you're going from the Bellagio to the Luxor. So they go at a slow speed, but they don't have a driver either. It's completely automated. But when you consider the distances between those cities, I can see a bullet train going over 200 miles per hour and still having enough time to slow down and brake and become safe.
Most of America doesn't need trains. Where trains are needed in America the most is the Northeast.
Yeah.
You've got so many millions of people crammed. When you look at from Boston down to New York City, down to Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., you know how many millions of people live and work in that area? So trains have been big up there for a long time, but even up there, they don't have anything like this. You know, California, they wanted to have something that went from either Los Angeles, like a bullet train, to San Francisco or something like that. But people love their cars out there, and there's so much space out there. Yeah, in those particular cities, there's lots of traffic. But in between those cities, there's just a lot of vast space.
And what I find interesting is how cities like China, and we've done it here with the World's Fair in New Orleans, how we actually invest money on infrastructure just for a special event. China is spending money on these trains just for the Olympics, just like we had the gondolas here in New Orleans in 1984 for the World's Fair.
Yeah.
They actually built structures just to accommodate an event.
Wouldn't that be cool if they brought those gondolas back?
Yeah.
It would be better than the Algiers Ferry. I mean, nothing against the Algiers Ferry, but wouldn't it be more fun to commute?
Yeah.
In a gondola over the Mississippi River if you're coming in from the West Bank?
I have old pictures of me and my dad in a gondola when the World's Fair was down here back in 1984. They brought the space shuttle out here. It was nostalgia feels. But they actually set up everything just for that one event.
So normally a trip from Beijing to Zhangjiakou.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Normally, if you were going to drive there, it takes about 3 hours. With this bullet train, you're there in 47 minutes.
See that? And these Olympians have to get to their events before airtime for whatever sports station that they're going to play on. So it accommodates the speed too. If you have the weightlifting event over here, then the camera crew has to go do the skiing event over here. They got to get on that train and.
And for years they've been talking about having some sort of bullet train from New Orleans to Baton Rouge. I mean, New Orleans traffic is pretty bad. Baton Rouge traffic is really bad.
I don't think we need a train from New Orleans to Baton Rouge.
How many people would use that? How many people would take it?
Yeah, I don't think we need that much. Some people go there they like to drive anyway. It's an excuse to have a road trip.
Well, I just thought this was incredible how communist China has a new bullet train that goes 217 miles an hour with no driver. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans, only classic rock. Obviously, we all know that robbing is wrong, whether you rob a store, whether you rob a human being. Robbing is wrong. But I just saw this story, and even though this robber is still wrong, it got me thinking about it enough to tell you about it if you're listening right now. A man robbed a pharmacy in Philadelphia the other day, and he flashed his demand note that said he needed the money because he has a sick child. And then he said, hurry up, you only have a few seconds. But boy, when you see something like that, again, the guy's wrong, obviously. Is there one part of you that made you think about that for a second and say, boy, oh boy?
I'd have to see the kid.
What do you mean? How old the kid is?
No, just to make sure they're really sick.
Oh, he could have been lying.
Yeah. Lying.
Yeah, he walked into a Rite Aid pharmacy wearing a gray hoodie and dark gloves. The man then handed a note to the employee when he walked up to the checkout line. And the note said, give me all the money. I'm sorry. I have a sick child. You have 15 seconds.
He could have easily started a GoFundMe on any social media page. People's sympathy, you know.
So, Coleman, you have no sympathy for this guy?
No. Okay. None.
There are other ways to get money from people, like GoFundMe and other things like that. All right. I was just wondering. And that's just about going to do it for our show this morning. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty. Got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning, 5:30, here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.